turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. We will be reading the first three verses and focusing on verses 1 and 2. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. The past year, 2020, has been one of the most difficult, one of the most challenging years that many of us can ever remember in our lives. Things that we confronted and had to go through that we never thought we would ever see or experience in our lifetime. And as individually, as individuals and families and as a church, we've sought to weather them. And to the best of our ability, we've tried to, in light of what's been going on, in light of the difficulties, to seek to get through these things, but to get through them having the right things in perspective. We've seen many hard days. We've seen days where we've been confined to our own houses and not been able to go out. We've enjoyed that extended time with our families, but our relationships with friends and extended family and church family, those relationships suffered. Many of us have experienced a financial impact given what this year has held, and if we ourselves have not experienced that, we certainly know people who have been greatly affected by that. We have seen a pandemic bring fear into the minds and hearts of people. Fear to such a level that we never thought we would see that in our lifetime. We have seen death confront us as a culture and as a society, perhaps more profoundly than has been known in many generations. And in the midst of these difficult things, the world has tried to find things to grab a hold of, to give them hope. Many have grabbed a hold to things like science. Science will have all the answers. Science will get us through this. Many have clinged to the government and have wanted the government to provide the means for them to survive. And while those things may have helpful wisdom and things that can sustain life and protect people, yet we know that the Word of God teaches that things like money and government and science are not the true refuge for our souls. They're not the things that give us hope in the midst of difficult times. The text that we have read very clearly and very plainly states that God is our refuge and strength. And if there is a message that our hearts needed this past year, and perhaps need to be reminded of now as we end this year and enter a new one, a new year that is filled with just as many uncertainties as a year ago when we were leaving 2019 and entering 2020 and had no idea what lay before us, the great trials, the difficulties. We need the reminder that God is our refuge and strength today. And we will see in our text three important truths. First, that God is our refuge. Second, God is our strength. And third, God is our present help. And then, in light of those, fourth, therefore, we should not fear. So first, God is our refuge. This psalm is often been called Martin Luther's psalm. This was a particular favorite psalm of his that he would sing in times when he was facing difficult circumstances, dark times, particularly in his life in the early days of the Reformation, when the powers of darkness and the powers of evil seemed to prevail against the gospel, against the truth. he would choose to sing this song, this psalm, and to drink deeply of the truths and the encouragements and the promises found within it. He found this psalm to be an anchor to his soul in the midst of whatever storm that he found himself in. And it's important to note that this psalm is primarily speaking in a corporate sense. It's not speaking primarily to individuals, but that God is our refuge and strength in the sense of God is the refuge and strength of his people, of his congregation, and of his church. But in light of that, what God is to his people corporate, he is to his people individually. But keeping in mind that this psalm is written primarily for the church of God as a whole. But God is said to be a refuge to his people. And that word refuge is important. It contains within it the idea of shelter, protection from the elements, such as rain and snow, and also protection from danger. It's a place of trust and hope and preservation. The idea of a refuge is found all throughout Scripture. It appears time and time again. Listen to some of these different ways in which God is said to be a refuge to his people. In Psalm 14:6, God is said to be a refuge for the righteous generation. And then in Psalm 61, verse 3, God as refuge is declared to be a strong tower of strength against enemies. Psalm 62:7, God is declared to be a refuge and the rock of our salvation. Psalm 73:28, the nearness of God is directly connected to him being our refuge. And then in Psalm 91, verse 9, the Lord Most High is said to be the refuge and dwelling place of his people. Psalm 94:22, God is said to be a refuge and stronghold. Psalm 142, verse 5, God is said to be the refuge and portion of his people in the land of the living. Isaiah 25, verse 4, God is said to be a defense and refuge for the helpless and needy in distress in the midst of the storm. And then lastly, Jeremiah 17:17, God is said to be a refuge for his people in the day of disaster. One of God's characteristics and attributes in Scripture is that he is a refuge and that he is the divine embodiment of a refuge and a help. And the different ways in which refuge is used in Scripture that we've just briefly looked at, it should help us to see that refuge is a very broad, very all-encompassing idea, that God is a protection, a rock, a defense, a fortress, a place of preservation, a place in which we can trust implicitly. God, in his character, is a refuge. Just as God himself is love, he is also a refuge for his people. He is, to his church, a retreat of safety beyond the reach of every foe and enemy. This word refuge implies a fleeing from something and a fleeing unto something. That the church, in times of great distress and difficulty, is told here to flee from those things that are fearful, but to flee unto God, where they can find a great refuge, defense, and means of preservation. John Calvin writes upon this psalm, commenting on God as refuge, saying that God comes seasonably to our aid and is never wanting in time of need, as often as any affliction presses upon his people. The idea that God is a seasonable aid and he is never wanting in time of affliction should encourage our hearts, that God is always a refuge. He's a seasonable refuge in the sense that he's always a refuge in our time of need. As a refuge, we see that God is ready and always available to come to our aid. We see embodied in that idea of him being a refuge of his great power and ability to protect us as his people, and to preserve us in the face of all enemies. We see his all-sufficiency and our utter dependence on him. We can see in him being a refuge the idea that his wisdom in his preservation is far greater than the wisdom of any enemy that can befall us. And that his promises here meet the need of any possible circumstance that we as a church and as we as individuals could find ourselves. God is all reliable, all capable of protecting us and being a refuge for us. One of the great truths about God that's in display here in our text is the unchangeable nature of God. He is not just a refuge now, but he has been one in the past. He is one presently. And we know as we approach a new year that God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is going to remain a refuge for us in the days ahead. No matter the worst calamities that could befall us, and we could hardly envision anything more difficult than what we have gone through this past year, even if 2021 contained more difficulty than we've faced, the same God who has been a refuge to us through all of this will be a refuge to us in the things ahead. One of our weaknesses as human beings in light of the fall is in the midst of circumstances that are difficult and trials and struggles, we often try to find our refuge in anything other than God. We try to find a refuge in our own ability to bear up and to try to turn ourselves to go into the storm and try to weather it ourselves. Or we turn to someone else thinking that perhaps they may be the refuge that we need. I think sometimes as a married person, it can be very easy to find your spouse to be your refuge. And it's very tempting to be that for your spouse. Perhaps some of us may find a friend that we know is going to be that refuge for us. But knowing that God is truly our only great refuge, we need to know that every friend that we have, and even our spouse, should be a means of pointing us to the one who is the great refuge of our souls. And so, looking back over this past year, filled with great difficulties and struggles and trials, I'm sure that we all can recognize times that we tried to weather those things in our own strength. And we look back upon those times and perhaps may recognize just how foolish we were, trying to take control of it ourselves, trying to find a refuge for these things in some other thing. I think it's good to think back and to recount how we have responded to circumstances, to seek to learn from those, to grow, that we would in the days, the weeks, the months, and the year ahead, seek to be a people who are more faithful in partaking of the Lord as refuge instead of turning to ourselves and finding refuge in anything else. God uses trials to bring us to an end of ourselves. He uses trials to bring us to the point where all we can do is turn to him. Things that are so far outside of our control, things that are far beyond our ability, God leads us to that so that we would recognize that even in the little things, we are just as needy, just as dependent upon him. And it's as if every trial, every difficulty, every struggle that we face is God's means of good for us, wrestling from us this self-dependency, wrestling from us this idolatry of finding refuge in anything else but him. And perhaps if there's one thing that God may have been teaching you and working in your heart this past year, it is that your great need of him, your great weakness, your great inability to control something like a pandemic, to even control what's on the shelves at the grocery store, things that you need that people have bought, buying in fear. I remember going into the grocery store at the very beginning of the pandemic and saw shelves so empty that I never thought I would see that in my life. People buying impulsively in fear. And it was hard not to allow that fear to hop on my back and to respond in the same way. Fear is that it just builds. It latches onto you. And the Lord grabbed a hold of my heart in the midst of that and reminded me of the fact that He has promised to always provide for my needs. He's always promised to take care of me. I don't have to respond in fear. And how liberating that is. And in that moment, God became to me a refuge, knowing that in Him, He would preserve me and that I could go and buy what I needed, nothing more. But I see other times, looking at the circumstances of things that I faced this past year, and I see times when I did not respond in a way that went to the Lord to find refuge. And it convicts my heart. And I know that you can recognize that yourselves, that we sometimes lose sight of what we know to be true. We set aside the promises of God, and we try to get by on our own. And yet God has declared Himself to be our refuge and our strength. Now, those of us as believers who have come to know God as refuge, who have taken refuge in Christ for salvation, we are to continue to take refuge in Him. God has saved us for Himself. He has saved us that through the trials and the circumstances in our life, that we would not be afraid, that we would trust Him. In the midst of a year where it seemed as if the world was turned upside down, that there was never a cause or a reason to fear, but every reason in the world to trust Him. And that idea of the world being turned upside down, it was something that just hit my mind of this is what it feels like for the world to be turned upside down. And that idea of the world turned upside down in history dates back to the time of the Revolutionary War when the Americans won independence from the British, the world power at the time. And it was said at that point that the winning of independence by these ragged colonials was as if the world turned upside down. The ones who shouldn't have won independence did. It was shocking. It was unbelievable. And yet, the idea of the world being turned upside down has taken on kind of a new meaning for me in the sense of looking at this past year. Everything about our lives was impacted, changed, and altered because of what we faced. And even if the world is turned upside down, the promises of God are still as true in those moments as they are when things are going just fine. That God is a refuge and a strength to our souls. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." And that this is God's purpose in and through the suffering and the struggle. That God is a refuge to a church facing a pandemic. That God is a refuge for individuals who are struggling with physical ailments. That the church is a refuge for families who are struggling in their relationships with one another. That God is a refuge for parents who are struggling with their children and don't know what to do and feel like they're at the end of themselves. God is a refuge for those who are just overwhelmed by life. But God is a refuge for those who are grieving, even the loss of loved ones, and particularly feeling that keenly this season. That there's never a circumstance, never any situation that we could find ourselves that God would not be the perfect refuge for our souls. So God is a refuge. But our text also says that he is a strength. And again, back to that idea of self-dependency. We default to our own strength, do we not? We rest upon our own ability, thinking that we can somehow weather the storm on our own. And in addition to God being a refuge, he's a strength. And that means that God has not set us in the midst of these circumstances to endure them in our own ability and our own strength, but that God wants to be sufficient for us in every circumstance. God is our strength. Strength in Scripture can be understood in different ways. Sometimes strength and might is used in reflection to material and physical things, such like the might or strength of a city or an army, or even of an animal. Even human speech in Scripture is said to be mighty and powerful. It's even used to describe the strength and power of politics and society and even rulers. But here, strength is speaking of that divine strength that comes from God. It's directly connected to the fact that God is strength. It's an essential part of his being and is one of his attributes, that God is the source of strength. And that we, as God's people, need to grow in recognizing the fact that apart from him, we can do absolutely nothing. And that trials and difficulties are God's means of tutoring us in that. That we would recognize that in the moments that we feel most weak, most unable, that's really a reflection of how we are all the time. That we are truly weak and needy and helpless. And that the strength of God is designed to meet our need every moment of every day of our lives. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 declares this in a very short, simple way. I can do, and that word do meaning endure, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Every circumstance, every situation that we find ourselves, whether it's easy, moderate, or very difficult, we need the strength of God. Just as much as we need God as refuge, we need him as strength. And this morning, any of you that recognize that you depend upon your own strength too often, that's something to confess to the Lord, to repent of, to recognize that God has not called us to that, but God has called us to dependency on him, and that we would go to him as refuge and find strength, that he would be to us a very present help in trouble. And that leads us on to our third point, that God is our present help, a present help in time of trouble. First, he is a help. That is a beautiful thought, that God has made himself to us to be a help. The idea of God being a helper includes the idea of him being one who brings assistance and aid. In fact, we as God's people have been given the Holy Spirit, the great helper, the great comforter. And that God has disposed himself to be to us a means of assistance or aid is imaged in how our earthly fathers watch over us. And as children, we remember that our father was very quick to come to our aid and to our rescue. And as fathers, we know that when our child falls and skins their knee or some other thing happens, that we are quick to go to comfort them, to care for them. And then in that small way, we see an image of what God does far greater, that God is the perfect Father. And as the Heavenly Father, he comes quickly and readily to our aid. God is also said here to be a present help. This word present is a verb in the Hebrew, and it's very interesting. This verb means to attain or find. And the idea encompassed here is that God, as a helper, is right at hand, easily found, easily accessed. This is unlike how the deists, a movement from several hundred years ago, how they saw God. They saw God as like a great watchmaker who winds up the clock, sets it in motion, leaves it, and moves away from it. God not being close, God not being involved. Scripture teaches the exact opposite. God is both the Lord of history, but he's also intimately involved in every aspect of history. He's close by. And the truth that is communicated here, that God is a very present help, is that God is not hard to find nor hard to access in these difficult circumstances. God has not said that he's a help, but you have to go find him. No, God is a help, but he's right at hand. In fact, if you're a believer this morning, God is with you by his Holy Spirit. And then you have immediate access to that refuge by simply stopping and praying and applying to your heart the truth that the Word of God teaches. Truths that we're looking at this morning, that God has disposed himself to us in such a way that he makes himself readily, easily, immediately accessible in difficulty. That God is a very present help in trouble should be incredibly encouraging things to our hearts. But yet, again, we're so much tending to our own self-dependency, our own strength, that even though God is right there and can come immediately to our aid and be an immediate, easily accessible resource and refuge and strength, how often do we forget those things and try to act like God is not close by, or even that God doesn't exist at all? It's one thing to believe these truths, but it's another to apply them in the midst of our circumstances. And perhaps when we don't take hold of God as refuge, some speak of that as being like unto practical atheism, that when we do not take hold of God, we do not respond in the way that God has commanded us to and that he has inclined himself to be to us, we're denying the truths that we say we believe. That convicts my heart, and I hope it does yours. We want to be a people who not only know the truths of God's word and the promises, but believe them in such a way that we lay hold of them in the midst of circumstances when we desperately need them. And may God make us a people who are not just hearers and knowers of the word, but do it and find that promises such as these are God's gracious kindness to us. Gracious mercy. He has not saved us and then set us in motion to survive somehow on our own strength. But he saves us and through himself equips us in all things to be able to endure, to bear up, to persevere, to endure whatever in his sovereignty he sends our way. Remember, I talked about the unchangeable nature of God and how that's in display here in this psalm, that God has been a helper. We've seen him be that, and a refuge and a strength, very present to us. We've known that in our lives. And we know that if this morning there is a great trial that we're going through, that God is the same to us even then, even now. Immediate access. In light of that, we know that God is going to be a refuge, a strength, a very present, easily accessible help to us in the year ahead. We have no idea what it contains, but we must look at the year ahead realistically in the sense of we know that we're going to encounter trials. Scripture never puts it in the sense of you may encounter. It's always you will encounter, because that's God's purpose for us as his people. But we also need to be, in a sense, optimistic in the sense of the whole year is not going to be a trial, because we will know God's blessings, God's presence, and God's care. And so it's the juxtaposition of those two, a realistic view of this upcoming year, but also optimistic in the sense of no matter what we face, God is going to be with us. I have seen a lot of people talking about how they're so glad we're leaving 2020 behind because 2021 has to be so much better. And we have no idea what 2021 holds. And as much as people are trying to find hope and refuge in the unknown, the year ahead, we as God's people are not called to find our hope in a new year. We are called to find our hope in the refuge and strength and help of a God whose eye is always upon us, who loves us, who has given us all things that we need for life and godliness. That God is our helper, past, present, and future. Listen to the words of Isaac Watts, who knew and believed these truths and expressed them in one of his most well-known hymns. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home. Under the shadow of thy throne, thy saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood or earth received her frame, from everlasting thou art God to endless years the same. One of the great encouragements that I have found is by looking back to see God's faithfulness to his church in days gone by. The church has weathered far more difficult storms than a pandemic. The church has weathered very difficult doctrinal and theological errors and heresies where they almost went one direction that would have led the church off into great apostasy. And yet God preserved the church from those errors. And time again, these new errors appear, and God yet preserves his church, preserves his word, preserves his people in the midst of all circumstances. That even in the deepest, darkest age of the Middle Ages, when the gospel was largely lost, the access of the word of God in a tongue that the common people could understand was lost, and evil was reigning, God still preserved his church. Even in countries today where meeting as Christians is illegal, punishable by death or imprisonment, God is still preserving his people. And that God, who has been the help of the church in the past, will be so presently and will be so in the future. That should give us great encouragement to enter this new year, knowing that as a church and as individuals, we're going to be facing very difficult trials. We know not what, but God does, and God intends them for the good of this church and for the good of you as his people. But we must enter this year recognizing that but for the help and mercy of God, we would have to do it all in our own strength. Could you imagine trying to weather what the world has weathered this past year without God being a refuge and strength and present help? I cannot imagine that. Living on fear rather than trusting an almighty God who is so powerful that not one single germ or molecule is outside of his control. That having a God who is all sovereign, unchangeable, eternal, should give us great confidence that no matter what we face, God is our help in days present and in days future. And in the words of another great hymn writer, perhaps one of the most beloved hymns ever written, John Newton wrote, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me.
His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. And then lastly and briefly, in light of the fact that God is the perfect, seasonable refuge, all the strength you could possibly need to endure whatever you face, that God is a readily accessible, present help, that's the right kind of help. Those truths lead us to the conclusion in verse 2, therefore we will not fear. And then the psalmist continues on with even events that would happen that surely even then there would be room to fear, right? If the earth should change, the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, the waters foam, the mountains quake. But even then, no, we should not fear. Though the earth be moved and all that we know and hold dear changes and is forever altered, which sounds very familiar to what we have faced this past year in some ways, that even if that should happen, even if the mountains, the greatest and the mightiest things on this earth, should suddenly cease to be and slip into the sea, even then we should not fear. That there's no circumstance, no situation, no matter the greatest calamity that we could ever encounter or imagine, that there even then is no room to fear. That God has called us to be a people who trust him, who rest in him, who find in him all that we need to endure whatever we face. And so as we seek to live in light of these truths, perhaps when we recognize fear in our hearts, it should cause warning bells to go off in our minds. I'm not believing the truths of the Word of God. And so my encouragement to you is that when you recognize that you're afraid, remind yourselves of these truths, that God has made himself to be my refuge, my strength, my help in time of trouble. Meditate upon those things. Go before him and lay out your heart, all that you're feeling, all of your fears, and then rest in his promises. That we would be a people who, through whatever we face in the year ahead, would find ourselves growing and resting in him. That's my desire for myself and for you all. Life is difficult. It feels as if often we're through one difficulty and the next one is right around the corner. Life often not being fair. God is still very faithful to us, is he not? Have you ever known him to not meet whatever need you have? I've never known that. Never, ever have I never seen him be to me exactly what I need in every circumstance. And so, as we enter a new year, may we keep in mind we will face trials, and they're God's means to grow us in these things. May we grow in dependence upon him. But for those of you here this morning who are not believers, the truths that you have heard this morning proclaimed from this pulpit are not truths that are initially for you. God cannot be a refuge, a strength, and a help to you until you have taken refuge in his Son for salvation. You know not what's ahead. There are difficulties, there are struggles, there are trials. But unless you are in his Son, one day the greatest trial you will ever face is that trial before this God, where you will give an account for what you have done with the truth that you have been given and heard, your response to the gospel. And if you are not in Christ, then you will forever go off into eternal suffering and have no access to refuge or help. and that in this present life, all that's before you in the year to come, you're somehow going to seek to survive it in your own strength. As God's people, we know that there's a far better way to live. Knowing that if we look to Christ for salvation, God opens himself up to be a refuge and a help to us in all things in our life. And so my charge to those this morning who are not believers is this: take refuge in Christ. He is the only way that you can stand right before God. Just as the ark was the only means of escaping the storm and the rain and the flood in Genesis, Christ is the only way of escaping that eternal storm coming when the wrath of God will be upon you and there will be no escape. The Lord Jesus Christ this morning, as the great refuge for your soul, is calling to you this morning, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." May you this morning look to Christ and be saved, and enter this new year knowing that you have one with you who will be for you everything that you need to endure whatever you may face. And as God's people, may we enter this new year knowing we are not alone. God is with us. God's eye is upon us. His desire is for our good, and all that we face is to that end. And may we rest in him, take refuge in him, and grow in our dependence upon him to the praise and glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for being who you are to us. Thank you that we're never alone. Thank you that you have made yourself to be to us everything that we need to never fear. Forgive us of the many times this past year that we have been afraid, that we've not taken refuge in you. May we see the trials of the year ahead as your means of growing us. May we see that growth. May you work that in us, that we would not just know, but live out belief that you are the only refuge and strength and help for our souls. May you be with us in the days and weeks ahead. Thank you that you are an ever-present help in time of trouble. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.